Hello, this is the 21st of November 2020. My name is Charles Stewart, and this is a conference recording of a group of people that are trying to establish lawful government for the United States of America, which requires applicability of justice for the common people through a Supreme Court of law. Presently, we do not have anything like that in existence in the United States of America, and we are attempting to change that, to better the condition of our American people by bringing a Supreme Court of law to the American people, to the organic body politic of the common people. And we intend to discuss details about how all of that works as the conference proceeds, along with a number of agenda items that we've got on an agenda here that we've got composed. And we've got some background noise there. Please mute y'all. People, please mute in the background if you haven't already muted. Thank you. We're engaging in some bold propositions here that have, I do believe, a deeper level of constitutional law research behind them. More specifically, the primary subcomponent of American constitutional law is common law, and we really get into the nuts and bolts there. But we like to start out with recognition of the higher spiritual powers that have preserved the principles of truth and justice and peace in America on the spiritual side, on the religious side. And thereunder, we like to go through the ritual without offending anybody of a brief prayer in the Christian tradition. And hereunder, if there's no objections, I would like to proceed. Champion of truth and justice in the universe, Yahweh Jehovah, God of Abraham, please send your angels with your Holy Spirit to guide and direct our conversation here. Please help us to all to remain humble before your holy throne and to be cognizant that our physical existence here is only temporary and that we're all going to be held to account for how we behave eventually on this physical realm. And thereunder, help us to remain humble. Help us to maintain mutually respectful tones of voice, unless only there's some serious devil worshippers manifesting amongst us that deserve to be routed. And hopefully that won't appear. Anyway, please, otherwise, keep us humble and respectful in all of our tones of voice. Help us keep focused in a businesslike and professional manner on the work that needs to be done in organizing our common people to take back the country from the devil worshippers that are currently destroying it. Similarly, as your precious son Jesus Yeshua did 2,000 years ago. And in his precious name, we humbly pray these things. Amen. Okay. Thank you all for indulging us in that little ritual. I do believe it's important to address that spirit side. We won't probably get excessively entangled in that here. Agenda item 2 is a request for a call for new agenda items or court cases to be brought before our court. Is there anybody that has any new agenda items they would like to submit for future versions of our conference agenda here? Or would anyone like to register a case? to bring before a court that we can start assembling a jury to adjudicate for. Anyone? I yield.
This is Nikki.
Nikki, hi.
Hi, I just sent you an email regarding Lysander Spooner's 1853 trial by jury. And I think that
was,
it might be...
That was the book that broke me into this back when I was about 29, about 34 years ago, more than that, closer to 40 years ago now. Lysander Spooner's Essay on Trial by Jury. It's a hard read. I dare say I'm one of the very few people that has read the thing and actually has a comprehension of what its essential elements are. Thank you, Nikki. Please continue.
Yeah, and I strongly recommend it that you kind of let people know that it could be used as a textbook and for their local communities. And I sent you an email about that just a few minutes ago, before I dialed in here or came onto the call. But Lewis got a copy of it as well as Abraham. Okay? So
thank you, Nikki.
Was
that your only announcement?
Okay. I'm sorry?
Was that your only announcement?
Was that the only thing? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
It's good to hear.
Is there anyone else that might have anything to say here?
This is Darlene. May I?
Isn't it? Darlene, yes.
I thank Nikki for being on the call. It's good to hear her voice, and thank you for bringing us to that wonderful realization again of that book and that material, because we do have to pick up from what's actually working. It's great to know that, Charles, you're also aware of it. Like you said, it is a difficult read, but it's worth the wading through it. I yield.
Thank you, Darlene. Is there anyone else that has any announcements or agenda items or court cases to bring before our court here? Hearing none. Anyone? Okay. Okay, we can continue. We can revisit this issue later on in the conference too, but proceeding on to agenda item 3 here. We intend here to request. Lewis Hammond has requested that we produce an explanation of the current Patriot. Of the situation in the current Patriot community with the differing groups, with an explanation for how our USA Supreme Court of Law of this group might harmonize with all of the other group efforts that are going on at the same time here. And as you can see in agenda item 3 here, I got probably a little bit excessively focused on the definition of the word republic here. And I think Lewis was, from more recent conversation, Lewis was more concerned about the general community harmonizing than getting entangled in specific definitions of the word republic. Lewis, would you care to provide a little bit more guidance and direction as to how to most properly focus our discussion here?
No, you're absolutely correct. I wasn't looking, towards the definition, but how the Supreme Court of Law might even be accessed by these, the common people, because I believe, regardless as to which of the various groups or republic groups one may claim to be a part of, if they are one of the people, the common people of the land, one should have an access to a Supreme Court of law. So what I was concerned with is how the Supreme Court of law might be accessed or accessible by any man or woman on the land, and then how does the Supreme Court of law also make it known to the common people of the land that it's in existence and available to hear jury trials and, of course, grow the body? So how might it harmonize or fit in? Because I don't find it in conflict with any of the group's efforts. However, I also don't see the participation, and I'm questioning as to why. So, because I see it fitting in, I don't see it being in conflict with any effort, actually, unless I'm in error there, and if so, please correct. I yield. I'm going to mute myself too. So got some excitement in the background here.
Okay, thank you, Lewis. Yes. Thank you for the broader focus there. I think my best explanation is that we're like in agenda item two. We call for people when we open the conference. Agenda item two is a call for people to bring new cases before the court. So this community, as I'm presently presiding over it, can only do so much. And we're publicly proclaiming, we're doing outreach, we're doing, we're sending out conference invitations to an email list of slightly under 200 email addresses. Most of the big players are included in that conference invitation, and I think our marginal popularity so far is due to the fact that most people aren't real clear about the advantages that having access to a Supreme Court of law for the USA can really produce. So I think that was part of your issue, Lewis, there about our numbers are still small, but people that are inclined to look at our invitation and see that we are claiming to be a Supreme Court of law, and if they're members of the other conference groups, they're welcome to come over here. I'm not going to kick them out just because they're a member of the other group. And I don't think anybody else will object here to anybody just because they're a member of another group. There's no conflict on our end. But I can't help but think that my first impression of your question, Lewis, was that maybe we should be doing more to harmonize with some of the other groups, and whether that's in error I have personally put a lot of effort into trying to work with the other groups, and I know our group is still pretty small, but I'm very happy with it. We've got free and open discussion, and anybody that wants to jump up and tell me, Charles Stewart, that I'm blowing smoke and I don't know what I'm talking about, I welcome. And because that will produce an extremely lively debate And I'm not afraid of it. It seems to me most of the leadership of most of the other groups are quite afraid of having those lively debates about the leadership and how the leadership's moving. And so maybe that's off point from what you were focusing on, Lewis. Can you help us focus a little bit on how to clarify what your specific concern is from here?
Sure. Yeah, and it wasn't a concern. And first, I think that was Joe from Florida. If you can, sir, please mute yourself. We've got a lot of wind. So if you can use star 6 to mute yourself if your handset does not have a mute button. And then if you'd like to speak, once again, star 6 to unmute. So Joe in Florida, last four digits, 0780. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You confounded piece of junk. Tell you what,
Joe. I can mute you. I can mute you. Stay there. I just hope that you'll find out. If
pick the Taylor's phone across the fence. Mute it.
All right. Don't do that. I got you on this end. Okay.
Thank you, Lewis.
No problem. No, that wasn't a concern, and even looking at a means of outreach, that wasn't where I was going with that to some of the other groups, but simply that an opportunity to have recorded on this type of call what the Supreme Court of Law is and how it would be accessible, which you did by coming on those calls. You addressed that on these calls by any, man or woman on the land. In terms of, reaching out to other, groups or organizations, no, that wasn't where I was going. I've seen that in, even with my individual efforts, and I'll use that term individual, loosely. I don't like to use it. But my single efforts in attempting to do so. And it's just now that I'm seeing at least the same, a common message being distributed for the very first time. So I think that this might be also been a time to somehow let these people know. And I know that emails are going out. And I also know that sometimes people become numb to emails. And unless there's something else with it, another mention, another way of reaching out and, touching that man or woman, that they might then actually go back and open and review the email in its entirety, any of the past emails. So that's where I simply was going, is how might this fit in? Because in none of the other groups that I've listened to, been a part of, had discussions with so-called state coordinators or whatever other title one might hold within their organization, the Supreme Court of Law aspect is never discussed. It's not touched. So, we talk about, again, things at the local level, but again, not as a national court. So it appears that each of these efforts might be missing this very component. And that's how I actually see it fitting in with no matter what effort. I don't know how I communicate that to, these other people. And I guess that might have been the discussion that I was hoping to have, because is my vision flawed in some way? Is it factual? And that's why I wanted to know your vision. How do you see it? Because as you mentioned, you put in some 30 plus years, in this effort. So I'd like you to share how you see the Supreme Court of Law with any effort. And if you need to go back and really define the Republic, feel free. I have no objection to that. I yield.
Well, my fixation on the thank you, Lewis. My fixation on the definition of the word republic was under my impression that you were thinking that the republic, that word republic was providing some parameters within which we all needed to operate, and they're under the Supreme Court of Law that I'm promoting needs to somehow conform with proper definitions of the term republic and fit in. I think your words were fit in. And to my mind, from your more recent explanation here, that's in error because it sounded like maybe your phrase "fit in" is not really optimal for what you're seeking, because you're not asking our Supreme Court of Law to really fit in with any of the other existing programs, but rather for our groups to harmonize. Is that incorrect, Liz?
No, that's absolutely correct. And I should have been more accurate with my speech and choice of words there. I yield.
All right. Well, it's my habit in being anal about precision in terminology here, so don't feel like the Lone Ranger. I do that to everybody.
That's important.
Pardon me?
I said that is important.
Okay, well, thank you. But thereunder, I think as your more current words here did delineate, when we don't have a Supreme Court of Law for the USA, we don't have a forum within which to make adjudications about what is a pathway of error and what is a pathway of returning to true public Republican type of principles. We got no decision-making process. It takes due process of law with rules of evidence and procedure in order to decide what is the best pathway to follow. And with all due respect to all of the other gurus out there, I don't see them doing that. Okay? We're the only ones that are talking about nitty-gritty detail of due process of law here. People that have, like the Beacon Republic with a K group, they've got a general congressional assembly. They could be forming a Supreme Court of Law out of their general congressional assembly. Destry and Roger of the National Liberty, or of the National Assembly, and John Duresh of the National Liberty, all of those people could be forming a Supreme Court of Law. All you need is 12. The Beacon Republic has got close to 80 or 100 or so members of their congressional assembly, I believe. They could easily form a Supreme Jury of 12, I would think. Other groups could too, but they're not doing it, so it's left to just us eccentric visionaries like myself, and the few that happen to think that I've got a little bit of credibility in my efforts here, that are preciously hanging in here with me. I appreciate y'all. We're the only game in town that's talking about bringing real justice to the people here and now through establishing a court of law for the American people. So, Lewis, did you want to expand or say anything more on that?
No, I would yield the floor, open floor. And anyone else have any questions, comments, concerns about anything discussed thus far? I yield.
Anybody?
I just want to hi, this is Cynthia, everyone. I just wanted to say I totally agree with what Charles is saying. And I am like new to this, basically, but I was doing a lot of studying. And I am realizing that's exactly what we're going to have to do, because we're not getting any justice and going to our enemy and our depressor and asking for help without having any type of standings for ourselves. And not going to help you if their main goal is to depress you. So that's exactly what we need to do, is get our standings back. I yield.
Thank you, Cynthia. Anybody else? Lewis, I think you indicated that there's a Wednesday conference that is related to the Beacon Republic group that is kind of broadening out a little bit in directions that might be more comfortable harmonizing with what we're doing. Would you be inclined at all to perhaps expand a little bit on that?
Oh, that's actually not the, well, I believe it was initiated by Brad, a representative of the Massachusetts Republic, but this is called a union call, which is just that, an attempt to bring, together in union the various Republic groups. So I've only been able to listen to one recorded call thus far. There was a second call this past Wednesday, as I was mentioning prior to us beginning the recording, but I was off of the line by the time that actually got started. Darlene indicated that she listened to the call. So Darlene, if you are able to share any additional information regarding this past call. If not, I can discuss the first call, which I, again, was very impressed with for about the first 35, 40 minutes, and then it got into individual conversation, first with John of Massachusetts, then with a woman known as Jan, which lasted over 30 minutes, a one-on-one conversation. So, at that point, the call kind of got derailed, in my opinion. Again, for the first 30, 35 minutes of the call, talking specifically common law at the township level, the county level, the 100th court, and what the power of that that jurisdiction. So once others. I felt that sometimes because of the language, just as we've Charles has pointed out with my language earlier, that the language sometimes assumes that no one else on the call is knowledgeable of a particular subject. So once those that are knowledgeable of that subject are given an opportunity to speak, it tends to turn into, okay, let me, make you aware of, again, my level of knowledge. Because what they're proposing is great. They've got books coming out. They are proposing that they provide information for people to learn and educate the masses, and the research that they've done and the actual documents that they've actually gone to either the Library of Congress or other libraries to acquire, because much of which isn't on the Internet, and I get that. I've run into that where things weren't on the Internet, and I actually, needed to go downtown Detroit, University of Detroit, Mercy Law Library to locate things. So I'm aware of that. But I think that, we get into maybe 30 or 45 minutes longer, actually, of one-on-one discussions. But, I can't speak intelligently of this past Wednesday's call, but what he was speaking of, it was identical to what you have been putting forth, for as long as I've known you. So, I would ask Darlene, who's on this past call, Nikki, did you make this last Wednesday? Anyone else that's on the line that was on this past Wednesday's call that would like to add to, anything, give any additional information, please unmute yourself and feel free to speak. I yield.
This is Darlene. Basically, my recollection is basically exactly what you've said, that it sounded like it was exactly the same presentation that was made. Nikki, did you notice anything different on Wednesday's than what Lewis has already said that he heard on the first part of it? The only thing that I remember also, I think they said they weren't going to do anything for the next week or two because of the holidays. other than that?
I wasn't on the call on Wednesday.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
No.
Yeah, it was basically, you know, attempting to, again, bring together some kind of unity, which it would be great if we had a way, because it is about each of us at the level of understanding that we have currently, and then creating a way that we can keep growing. I like the work that's, you know, that's the Education Committee with the Republic, USARepublic.net site, and that's with the CK on the end of the word Republic. I think as Nikki and those, you know, you're on that education call, Margaret and others have been making a good job of adding information there. We're attempting to bring together a glossary committee that will keep expanding our glossary. So if we could have one place where information is posted that people can feel like they can go and get an education from a reliable source, to me that would be one of the greatest services that we could offer at this time, is to offer that that place for resources that kind of has a clearinghouse where they're information that can be trusted from trusted sources as much as possible. So that would be a suggestion that I, you know, definitely we need to add this information that's here on what's being done in this call. So if we could just make some kind of way for a reach out, that's the greatest thing we can, I think, be a service at this time. I do.
Thank you, Darlene. Nikki, did you have anything to add to that?
In my opinion, and my opinion is that a lot of these people don't know where it actually broke down, and I think that that is the benefit of using Lysander's book as textbook, and doing search for the particular words that they have in mind that, oh, no, this will never work, you know, or that. And kind of research a word and just look at the paragraphs in which those words are contained and read them over. And begin with the word legislature. Legislators, I should say, legislators. Very informative. And
okay.
That's because when people don't know where something is broke, they don't know how to fix it, and they, you know, don't think there's a problem because everything is going on well for them. So that's where I'm coming from with my suggestion. And with that, I yield.
Thank you, Nikki. And thank you, Lewis, for priming the pump about that. Related Beacon Republic with a K discussion and their progress in their Wednesday conferences. I am toying with the idea of personally attending therein due to Lewis's affirmation that they are actually making some progress in a good direction there. Up until having heard that, I had been rather frustrated with the Beacon Republic group, but as a result of this news, I'll be able to take some time in my schedule here and try to tune it in. Related to this also, in terms of harmonizing with other group organizing efforts and our Supreme Court of Law, I believe our regular conference attendee, Michael Zarzano in Florida, has indicated that he's got a similar effort up and running with a county assembly project for the entire USA here. Michael and I had talked about that, I believe, last night, and that I would try to cut out a little bit of time at the end of this agenda item 3 discussion to ask Michael to kind of explain what he's doing with his separate group there and how perhaps Michael visualizes that his efforts there might harmonize with our efforts at promoting a Supreme Court of Law for the USA here. Michael, are you capable of giving us a brief summary of your county assembly's group effort there, Michael?
Yes, I am. It's just fresh, brand new. The website address is countycongress.com, countycongress.com. And then the other site that we're using as a reporting site on the various groups and activities in counties all across the country is UnitedCountiesOfAmerica.com. And that is also just getting started and still under construction, but you can go there and see the concept. And it's nothing new. The founders had already done this in 1773 to 75, 76. They created a Continental Congress, and the County Congress is a way to structure various groups, various people, churches, to be able to get on the same page and manifest their consent and have a way of formulating their redress and grievance. And we're also seeking participants through a marketing strategy that we're about to launch using social media platforms, and including Craigslist even. There are several places on Craigslist where you can advertise and publish news. And, you know, we need to get people involved. We can have, you know, lots of great ideas and do lots of things, but unless we have people involved, it's going to make it difficult. And that's the problem all these groups have. And it seems like none of them really have a big marketing strategy in mind. I really haven't seen any as of yet. But, you know, we need to get people involved to just become a nominated delegate or a nominated activist. You know, if somebody knows somebody that would be a good qualified candidate for a delegate or an activist or an investigator, you know, please do so, because that's how things like this get started, when you are referred or when you're known of others and you're respected and they want your help. They can, you know, send a message out there to get people involved. So that's what we need to do. So you can go to those two sites, countycongress.com, unitedcountiesofamerica.com, and you'll watch it grow in the next several weeks and months ahead. That's it. I yield if any questions or comments.
Thank you, Michael. It looks like Lewis has brought up your webpage nicely on the screen there. Yes. I guess we should probably think of putting a wrap on our agenda item 3 here. Is there any concluding comments with regard to agenda item 3 here? Anybody?
This is Darlene, may I?
Yes, Darlene, please.
I would like to know if there's a way to get in touch with Mike about his website and what he's doing, because this is a perfect example of an item that I think is important for us to do. That's a great idea with the County Congress idea. And, you know, how can we use this to pull some together? Does he have it? You know, I won't take up time here, but I'd be more than glad to share my information, and I'd be glad to work with you on the website development side of that.
Okay, I appreciate that. The email address is AmericanFreedomFarm@gmail.com. All one word. AmericanFreedomFarm@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And who should I look for on an email?
What is your name? It'll come from Darlene Sartori, and that email will be idealnetworkprojects@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Thank you, Darlene.
Police sirens. I think we should proceed on to agenda item 4 here, unless there's any trailing comments on agenda item 3. Anything there? Hearing none. Agenda item 4 is a revisiting of our criminal complaint regarding the fraudulent declarations of emergency about a coronavirus causing all kinds of deaths and danger to our American people. And our halfway, we've got 6 people that have agreed to sign on to a jury verdict so far. We need another 6 or so. To review where we're at on that, our jury verdict is declaring that we, the American people, have the right to resist forced vaccinations with force if necessary. First of all, we declare that the science has not proven that coronavirus is really causing the problems that they claim it's causing. That's point number one. The science is weak. They don't have any legitimate scientific proof that there is an emergency here. And they're cooking the death numbers. They're fudging the statistics. They're posturing as though people are dying of coronavirus when they're compiling statistics of people that are dying with coronavirus. It's a much bigger number to die with coronavirus than to die of coronavirus. And these kind of things are drawn out in the details of our jury verdict here, and it's throwing down the gauntlet, challenging these jackbooted Nazi New World Order evil conspirators that we don't have to take it anymore, and we've got the right to resist with force any forced vaccinations or any type of their other military police state New World Order agenda that's coming at us. So on this particular issue, I would like to open the floor for discussion, and then ask if there's anyone that may be new to our group here that is willing to affirm to put their name on as a juror. We've already got 6 people that have affirmed, but we need 12. As part of the rules of the common law, it has to have that threshold number of 12 before we've got a legitimate Seventh Amendment recognizable empowered jury verdict and judicial decision. So discussion there, first of all, is there anybody that would like to discuss what we're trying to do here? I yield. Questions, comments, I yield. Anybody?
This is Darlene again. I will probably ask, what is our procedure if someone wants to be a signature? What is the procedure?
Contact me. My email address is in the documents and in the conference invitation there. I know a lot of people are concerned about this, and this is the remedy. This is moving our pawn out on the chessboard and challenging the evil empire agenda that they don't get to dominate the chessboard. So, but we need 12 people to be able to even move our pawn out on the chessboard and challenge them here. That's the threshold under the rules of the common law. And I know there's a lot of people concerned about this very issue, but in the name of God, we need people to stand up. It can't just be Charles Stewart jumping up here and hollering and kicking about this. It has to be a community that is affirming that we're all doing right before God. This is in the interest of justice for the American people, and we're calling out the people that are lying about these issues. We got to challenge them as a collective community. It's got to be more than Charles Stewart doing it. So, yeah, I hope that makes sense, Darlene. Yeah. And,
Thank you.
Yes, my email. My email address is in the document. So please contact me. And I guess to put a wrap on it, is there anyone here that hasn't already previously affirmed that they're willing to sign on that could be persuaded to sign on here? Is there anyone that might sign on to our jury verdict confronting this fraudulent evil agenda that's coming at us here? Anyone?
I will bring this to the call on Monday that we have and ask the group there that's that meets on Monday whether there'd be any more that would be interested, and I'll forward them your information.
That sounds excellent, Darlene. I'm pretty seriously committed to Lewis Hammond's Monday evening conference with the Wayne County Assembly here. Otherwise, I'd probably try to join with you there. Is there any way that...
We meet at 1 o'clock on Mondays, the conference for education and the website for the USA Republic group.
Okay.
And so you'd be more than welcome. I could forward that information to you, too.
Please do that, Darlene. And I know that Lewis's conference doesn't start until later in the day, so it does sound like there probably won't be a conflict between the two conferences. That's real good news to me. I'll try to attend.
Now, any of the conferences that Don Root is hosting for education for the USA Republic site, and then the Tuesdays and Thursday evening calls, anyone is welcome to attend. The more input we can find for, you know, bringing this together. This is the most active group. Nikki attends on a regular basis, so that's the most active group that I found on literally trying to pull together, you know, working together in some format. So I'll send you the information.
Thank you, Darlene. Okay. I guess I'm going to conclude that there's no one that is no new people are willing to sign on to the jury verdict at this point anyway. And so we should probably continue on to agenda item 5A. 5A, which is talking about enforcement for our Supreme Court and for all of the courts, clear from the grassroots all the way up to the national level, how we need to organize our own trusted peace officers from our own communities in our local townships, precincts, and counties. And here under, we're looking at, there's three web link documents there that talk about how to organize our own counties from the grassroots bottom up. They present a lot of detail. I'm really delighted to hear that the other, at least a few of the other groups, are talking about the details of how to organize at the grassroots level, at the 10 household townships levels and the 100 court precinct levels. This is really music to my ears that used to be I was the only one singing this kind of tune. But now other people are singing it too, and I do believe angels in heaven take delight in hearing this biblical model being repeated amongst broader circles of honorable people. I like to believe we're making progress in advancing God's holy kingdom on this earth and in our efforts to promote godly truth and justice here. So is there anyone that might have any questions or comments about how to organize our townships and our precincts, or what is the biblical basis or the common law basis or the constitutional basis for our right to proceed in this manner? Is there anyone that would like to, that has any kind of areas of confusion or doubt about our legitimacy, our lawful right to proceed in this manner? Anyone? I yield. Hearing none. Okay. I'm glad everybody seems to be feeling pretty comfortable with the bold and unfashionable propositions contained herein. Yeah, I guess that means everybody here is at least pretty up to speed on these innovative issues. You've probably heard me preach about them often enough already. So, and here, what's on 5B in our agenda item? Process for recognizing, for becoming recognized by our Supreme Court of Law as a qualified elector, with reference to our oath of office documents, and also our referencing our oath of office documents for town constable and justice of the peace, judicial officer, precinct captain. These three documents are designed to work together. You have to sign document number one to become a qualified elector before you can become sign document number two and become a town constable. And both of those documents need to be signed before you can move to level number three and become a judicial officer for your entire precinct. Is there anyone that has any questions about how this basic grassroots assuming of empowerment process works? Anyone have any questions or comments or critiques about any of this? I yield. Anyone? These are really bold propositions here, you guys. We're talking about the right to pack a gun, wear a badge, walking around your own community. You don't need no permit from your local sheriff to carry a gun if you're a town constable, peace officer. We should really be marketing this to our militia people. We're talking about outreach here. All of the people concerned about gun rights and militia and things like that, they need to become certified as town constable peace officers. Then they will be positioned on the legal chessboard to say, no, we don't need no stinking license. Yeah, this is marketable. There's all kinds of people that know that the bottom line is their guns, but they're not positioning themselves on the legal chessboard to do the arguments against the lawyers. They're going to back up the sheriff when he decides to take you to jail for wearing a gun in public without a license. So you got to be able to make the legal argument to defend your right to carry a gun in public, so long as you are legitimately just there to help keep the peace. Anyway, comments or questions on this important proposition? Anyone, before we move on?
Charles, this is Nikki again. And I'm going to say this based on what I am finding as far as looking up the word elector in the trial by jury by Spooner. Okay, qualified? I'm sorry, qualified, not elector, but qualified. And what I find that a lot of this that has to do with the word qualified, as far as qualified to, you know, be on a jury, qualified for this, that, and the other thing, all goes along in the section, the chapter on juries of the present day is illegal. And I'm just bringing it to your attention because perhaps the word qualified may not be a good word in using the this as a textbook for bringing people on board.
Right.
And I'm just bringing it to your attention.
Right. I'm glad you drew that point out, Nikki, because Lysander Spooner, as heroic as his work is there with his essay on trial by jury, that text focuses primarily, it finds its root for the volume of arguments that it makes in Magna Carta, which happened at 1215. Okay? That's pretty much as far back as Lysander Spooner went in history. And there under, with all due respect to Mr. Spooner and your fixation on his work here, Mr. Spooner did not apparently comprehend the significance of the Norman conquest of England in 1066. 150 years later, Magna Carta was only a half-hearted effort to return to that previous existing grassroots bottom-up form of government. It was still a top-down form of government that King John agreed to and the barons agreed to in Magna Carta. And
sure.
Clearly therein. They're also confessing that they're under the service of the Church of Rome. Okay?
That's not where I'm going with this, though, Charles. Where I'm going with this is, you know, you could begin on page 154 or 155 if you use the PDF, you know, for the search. But in order, it says, in order that the juries in the United States may be legal, that is, in accordance with the principles of common law, it is necessary that every adult male member of the state should have his name in a jury box to be or be eligible as a juror. Yet, and then he goes on to say, yet this is the case in hardly a single state. And he goes through New Jersey, Maryland, North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Florida, Connecticut, and he lays out what it takes in those things. And like in North Carolina, the courts of pleas and quarter sessions shall select names of such persons only as are freeholders and as are well qualified to act as jurors, thus giving the courts the power to pack the juries. So there's certain things, you know, in each state, Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, he goes on, Virginia, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Delaware. So what I'm saying is this, it can be, using the word qualified may be, you know, a problem in some of the states is what I'm saying. I'm not discounting what Spooner says and how he says it and all that, but he does bring it back to, you know, the legislators and the government implementing the laws upon which the courts are acting in order to protect them. Of course, they're nothing but a protection racket, basically, you know, as I'm reading it. So Anyhow, just bringing it to your attention, Charles. And nothing, you know, here nor there about it. All right?
Sure.
And get that out of you.
Can I say something also?
Let me respond, please, Cynthia.
I apologize.
I'd like to point out, Nikki, that you're looking at there with Lysander Spooner's wording on concerned about the jury boxes are registering people. That entire process is adulterated with civil municipal manners of deciding who's qualified elector and who gets to serve on juries. See, when the qualified electors are decided at the precinct level, in the original pure common law form of process, then Mr. Spooner's concern there is no longer relevant. We're taking it to a deeper level because we're doing the grassroots organizing and deciding qualified elector status at the township and the precinct level, and thereunder there is no jury box and where names are secretly submitted to the county clerk and stuff like that. So I think your concern, as well as Mr. Spooner's concern, is entirely irrelevant because we've improved on the valuable insight that Mr. Spooner has provided for us. We're standing on the shoulders of better men that have gone before us, and we're improving, and we're producing a greater level of grassroots accountability than even what Mr. Spooner could visualize. So I hope.
Yes, and I just want to reemphasize that I'm talking about the word qualified, just the use of that word.
Right,
qualified.
That's where we get our definition of qualified electors and electors itself is from the Anglo-Saxon tradition that Mr. Spooner is not taking into account here, sister. Do you comprehend my words here, Nikki?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that word to your attention, that's all, and what it may mean to some people who see that word, you know, and don't think of anything more than what the system is currently like. And when I use the word current, of course, I'm talking about since 1913. So, okay, all right.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. Cynthia, did you have some comments there?
Yes, actually, I was reading up on canning law because we are basically not consenting, but we are basically under canning. We are still under canning law. And what canning law has, what we call the general norms, that's custom. And actually, from what we are doing, like a universal church, and we get together and form our own church together, and it supersedes what we call the canon law. And you can look up in it to get a better understanding of what I'm saying. I couldn't find it right now. But what it's saying is just us getting together in a group, we can form two people come together with the same idea and form our own judicial system. It supersedes the other courts. And that is in the canon law, general norm, title 2. So therefore, it's not about their rules, because this is what they did to get us up off the land into the sea. And what we have to do is take responsibility and get back on the land. And doing that, because that's how they even started their system, their cooperation, the same way, and we followed. But we do not agree, and we're going by doing that, we're letting them know we do not agree, and we can form our own community, on courts. So I really would recommend you guys to look up on Book 1, General Norms, Title 2, for custom, and really realize what this really came from. Everything got to do with the church, because it's your soul that they're after, and they have to follow certain rules. So canon law is very, very important to look up, because we are still under it. I yield.
Thank you, Cynthia. If I might respond to that, I think canon law is the law of the Roman Catholic Church, and I do believe that we've got adequate remedy without resorting to laws of the Roman Catholic Church.
That
would be my only concern with what you said there. Are you?
No, we're not resorting to that. We're using that because that's what we are under to say we do not contract with that. But we're using the same method that they're using, so they cannot stop us because it supersedes when we do the same thing.
Well, I don't comprehend why you think it's worthwhile to reference the canon law of the Roman Catholic Church.
Because that's what everything began with that.
Well, for Roman Catholics, yes.
Political customs.
Pardon me?
The universal law, which is us, will be a universal court, revokes particular customs, which means custom law of the universe supersedes the canon law. So when we come together, we are superseding the church, the one, the universal law.
Okay, you're saying our customary common law supersedes?
What we're doing right, yes, supersedes. What we're doing right now, and we come together as a group, as a universal church, we will oversee what they're doing today so we can get back on the land. They have taken us off the land from our ignorance and say we're consenting. By doing this, we're saying, no, we can handle ourselves, that we do not need anyone to govern us. And this is the way that we go by doing that.
I can see some merit to what you're saying there, sister. I'm not too enthused about citing or studying canon law, but I guess it could be useful in some instances.
We need to, Nikki, I would love for you to look up Book 1, General Knowles, Title 2 as well. Actually, what it's doing, and I don't know how to explain this, and I wish I could get back to someone looking for the page. But actually, we are doing the same thing, and that's how things were governed. What it first started was, they were doing like 1311. They were doing, before this whole system started and the Romans started taking over, we had started doing what we say custom law, like tribal situations. Each community got together and formed their own laws for their own situation. And it became a law in the church. And like the clergymen, the priests and everybody, they made their laws pertaining to what was going on in their situation. And then they started bringing it outside of the church. That's how everything started. And these things were never changed. That's why the Pope had everything, the priest, the Pope. They took us off the land. And now we did not, it became a custom. We did not reject it or anything like that. So therefore, we considered in this containment, and we have not gone back to the land yet. And by doing that, we're joining, and a lot of people, and that's what, believe it or not, that's what Trump is doing with us. That's why he did the executive order, so that we can go back to natural law. But before, we have to transition into republic, into natural law. But what we're doing now, and it does not have to be 12. If two or more come together, that's what it talks about in the Bible. When two or more comes together, it's like a custom, a norm.
If I may, this is Lewis.
Uh-huh.
Yes, may add just to what Cynthia was mentioning. Charles, when you asked why might she bring in the code of the canon law, for one, anyone that's involved with that administrative court, there are some presumptions that one has to deal with. And the 12 presumptions of the court are then from the code of canon law. And they deal with, the public record, public service, public oath, immunity, summons, itself when answering the summons. Custody, if one is in custody, there is a jurisdiction, there's a presumption there. Court of guardians, court of trustees.
Yes.
Dual role. False executor. Incompetent. Okay. The presumption of incompetence is the presumption that you are at least ignorant of the law, therefore incompetent to present yourself and argue properly. Guilt and others. So I see why one has to at least address these issues. One must sever and extinguish these presumptions. And I see, the reference to canon law. But I'm in agreement that, people coming together supersede, actually, the canon law. I'm not a fan of religion for a number of reasons. And like Cynthia's mentioned, yes, it actually goes back to religion. In ending a presumption. When I first discovered this, the first thing I said is, I'm not a Catholic. What does this have to do with me? What are they talking about? An argument for my soul and actually making an agreement between the state and the church over who governs what entity during life and in the afterlife. I immediately said, both of you entities are out of your mind if you think that you're governing me. I've got nothing to do with you. So, but I'm in agreement with many things that Cynthia has just mentioned. It's simply, how do we deal with that? But where we're also in agreement is the people, the power is within the people, and the people coming together and organizing our own courts. Again, I'm of the firm belief that's where the authority is. I yield.
I would like to say something on that. It's not about religion. They put that religion on us. But when we come together universal, that will be what we, when I say religion, I'm not talking about different faiths and stuff like that. I'm talking about our ideas, what we feel that we want to bring about in our community and what we want justice and fairness for ourselves. So that religion part does not play a part because we can even say whatever we want to believe in. That's our choice. That's our free will. So don't even look at the point of how they have it structured because they have it like that so they can control us. But we'll be making the decisions, and our peers and family members and stuff like that will be judging over us, just like little tribes and different communities. And they
right.
can not. Yes.
Perhaps I should have added organized religion. To
yes.
be more specific, I've been a bit lazy with my language on this call. I yield.
Thank you both. Do you yield, Cynthia?
Yes, I yield. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, if I may, I'd just like to point out that it does talk about ecclesiastical canon law or canon. On page 78 of Trial by Jury, which would be 79 in the PDF. So just letting you know that there is information about it on there. I did not read a whole lot of it, but it kind of, goes along with the rest of his book. Points out, legislators and how we got duped into thinking that the law was on our side and it's really for them, not us. So anyway, I go ahead and yield.
All right. Yeah, I see Lewis is just doing excellent work bringing up the PDF copy on the screen of Spooner's essay on trial by jury. It's a meaty read. I don't know. Spooner, the level of research that Mr. Spooner brought to the table with his work, Essay on Trial by Jury, is just phenomenal. He gets into the nuts and bolts of the process there as best as he could with what he had and not comprehending the the very significant event of the Norman Conquest and how that adulterated everything. But yes, the nuts and bolts of how trial by jury is really supposed to work in pure common law and how it decentralizes the entire evil empire. Mr. Spooner explains that well. Again, it's a difficult read. There's redundancy in it. I got two-thirds of the way through reading it, I remember, and I underlined the heck out of my copy of it, and I go, wait a second. He was talking about this four chapters earlier, you know, and so there is some redundancy there. Mr. Spooner didn't have modern typing programs where word processors where you can copy and paste and organize through outlines and stuff. And so, you know, a lot of the older writings are like that. And if you can handle the difficulties in the read there, it's excellent instructive material. And I thank you for again referencing that, Nikki. That's very precious. Comments, questions before we move on to 5C. Anybody? Hearing none. 5C, seeking consensus concerning who is or who is not a qualified elector. And we have two examples of lists composed. This is where we eventually need to go. I would request, again, that all of you begin working up lists of people that you affirm are qualified electors, people that you would submit yourself to, you would consent to them sitting on a jury if somebody wants to accuse you of having committed a common law crime, the people that you know, that you trust, that aren't going to consent to you being railroaded unless there's real, real serious proof that you committed a crime, which you probably didn't commit. Okay? This is your advantage of constructing your own qualified electors list. These are the people from whom your jury should be drawn anytime anybody wants to bring any type of an accusation against you. And conversely, people who are not qualified electors, people like perhaps Joseph Biden, Hillary Clinton, Dick Cheney, George Bush, people who are evil, they deserve to be on your list of people who are not qualified electors. We eventually need to have everybody all over the USA submitting lists like that, because then when people try to come around and forcibly vaccinate you or take your guns away or do anything else to you that's unlawful, you get to point out that, wait a second, your commanding officer, the guy that gave you this order, is not a qualified elector. You shouldn't be obeying orders. He's not qualified to serve as a public servant. See, we've got the legal high ground, we've got the moral high ground, but we need to put our pawns out on the chessboard and make the public record that bad people are not qualified electors. That pulls their color of legitimacy away from them. And we need to be promoting our good people by affirming their qualified elector status. And they're under their town constable and judicial officer precinct level status. We need to empower our friends and disempower God's enemies. That's what the qualified elector list is all about. And I would encourage all of you to start composing lists similarly as our link through the two web links there, David Scheid and myself have already started rough drafts of these documents. And anybody wants to call me and chat on the phone a little bit for a while? Cynthia, we need to talk about how that judge there,
Crosby,
he's not a qualified elector. He's a fork-a-tongue deceiver. We need to certify him as not being a qualified elector. See, people that are bringing false charges against you based upon Roman slave trading codes are not qualified electors. This is our counterattack. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. So everybody, please, think about composing your own list. And if you need some help doing it, I'll do the typing. You give me a call. We'll start working on it. I'll put it on the web page, and once these are on the web pages, this is a public record. This is a public record. in a court of record, a court of law.
Yes, and that's very, very powerful. Very powerful. Because right now I'm getting ready to have my own trial against him. So it'll be on public record. We have to start taking a stand for these people. And if you go into these court systems, you're not about to win. And the canon law gave us a way out of doing that. And they cannot touch us. Because it's totally, totally what they brought their system upon and what they're going with the situation. And we can form it as the people. Because we did not, because we can rescind any contract. We can null any contract whatsoever. Because it was misleading, and we did not have all the evidence, all the truth of that contract. So it's void and does not exist. Like they say, we do... We are not illegal. We are legal fiction, and we are under the sea and all these other stuff. It is void from my awareness. We can rescind any contract. That is of our free will, and that is in the canon law situation. They put themselves in it as an entity, a corporate entity, as being a judicial person. And that's what they are as well, and they put us in that same category. That's why we have what we call the straw man, or other words you want to use for that. It's just trickery. But if two people do not consent, because they only contract, they can only dispute contracts.
Okay. Do you yield there, Cynthia?
Yes, I yield. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Here and none. 5C. Number 6. Reengineering the Electoral College. And a little bit of discussion about the current de facto presidential election. Would anybody like to talk about how things are shaping up for the Electoral College and the current presidential election here? Anybody?
Well, I would like to say, this is Cynthia. I would like to say that, actually I was a little confused because I was getting my revelation and understanding that it's not going to be any more presidency. And I was like, Donald Trump will be the last president. Actually, Donald Trump will be the last corporate president, because what we're talking about right now and what Donald Trump is setting up for us is going back to natural law. It is over. Donald Trump is not going to be removed in that way, and Biden is not going to be our president. We are going back if we stand up and speak for ourselves, because this is what you would call the apocalypse. Everything is open. Which way would you go? You have your free will. What decision? Do you feel like a free man? is your choice. And by Donald Trump doing that executive order November the 2nd, it is giving us a way out so we can stand up as what I'm just saying and say, we are here, we're not dead. I am alive. And I'm heir to the Creator, everything. That's my heir. He gave us everything. That's all right, unalienable rights. And it's time for us to start standing up for that and stop letting them take it away from us by our ignorance. I yield.
All right.
If I may. Lewis, if you still have trial by jury in front of you, go to page 14 where it talks about no despot was ever more entirely irresponsible than our Republican legislators during the period for which they are chosen. They can neither be removed from their office nor called to account while in their office, nor punished after they leave their office, be their tyranny what it may. Moreover, the judicial and executive, so you can just go ahead and read by there. If you call up the word legislators, you'll be able to come up with that, Republican legislators. And when they're using the word Republican, they're not using it, based on the party, I'm sure. You see that? That paragraph there kind of says it all. I'll let you read.
If I might return to Cynthia's issue, I'd like to, if you'll kneel, will you yield, Nikki, or? Nikki.
Yes, indeed, I yield. Uh-huh. I just want to bring it to your attention that he covered that, too.
Could I say something also? When they step outside, when they go against the Constitution, which is their oath, to protect the people and the Constitution, every one of them, all government officials made that oath. And when they go against that, they have gone against the Constitution. So they have stepped outside of their immunity, and they will no longer be immune. And we can sue them, put their butts in jail.
Right on.
So they do not have immunity when they step outside of their jurisdiction and commit.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what it says. Uh-huh, yep.
Yeah, that's what the rule of law means, is that everybody is accountable to the law, including public servants.
And that's also what the canon law said. They will get punished for the crime and to the extent of the crime. They also can be pardoned, because this is what Donald Trump has done for each and every one of them. And he also has a situation, because in doing this whole court system, we have the right, if our intention is to do right again, and you can be pardoned. So Donald Trump is leading his way out, even though they are pressing charges against him. As soon as they try to get him out of office, they're going to be on his butt. And Donald Trump has done a lot of stuff. He's not a good man in that sense. But he has good intentions right now, because he is making a way out for us. And he got some people over his head making him do that, but he agreed with that situation. Biden is...
Cynthia.
Okay.
might I inquire you to explain a bit further? I think you indicated that Mr. Trump issued some sort of executive order apparently this month in November. Is that correct?
Yes, he initiated that November, the executive order, November the 7th, and he got 1776. And my understanding from that is for us to go back to natural law. But we're going to have to transition from that, because it has to be a legal situation as we go forward, steps into republic and then into natural law. But it's our choice if we're going to stand up for that situation, if we're going to go forward, and I think we are, because everybody's talking about it, it's our awareness, and we are aware.
Is there a particular number of that executive order? Is it? Do you know what executive order we're looking for?
It is the executive order established on president advisory, which I pulled it up on the website when I was looking and doing my research and studying up on everything. And only thing you have to put in is the president advisory of 1776, the executive order on establishing the president advisory 1776 commission. And he did that on November the 2nd, as soon as they were selling my house.
But may I, please?
Yes.
I just would like to bring it to your attention, Cynthia, that your volume is extremely loud.
Oh, I'm sorry. And maybe because I talk loud. Let me see.
Well,
you're in a... you may be on a speakerphone in a vast area. So it appears that you're speaking kind of in an echo chamber, and it's not so much the volume, but how it's coming across, as if you're in a speakerphone in a larger open area.
If I may continue, it is a loud volume, Cynthia. We're listening to everyone, and when you come on and your voice is known, it just booms throughout the room, and it makes it difficult because we have to turn the volume down when you're speaking and then turn it back up when others are speaking. It's quite excessive. So I know this has been a problem in times past. It would be very appreciated if we could get uniformity in everybody's volume. Yours is the only one that is not uniform.
I actually tried to fix it, which I'm a computer illiterate here. So I'm going to ask my son to look into that for me because I don't know what to do here.
I understand and I appreciate it. With all due respect, I yield. Thank you.
Yes, I'll try to fix that. But I have to have him to do so. So I'll talk like really low. Does it still sound really loud?
Yeah, it's really loud. Yeah.
Wow. So I guess I'll be quiet for the rest of the night. I hear you.
Well, you don't have to be quiet, but I just wanted to let you know. That's all. Thank you very much, Cynthia.
Thank you. I'll try to get that fixed.
In terms of volume, Cynthia, are you talking through the computer?
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a capability of muting your computer and calling in from the phone, and that way you can still watch the screen, and you'll have a phone connection instead of that computer microphone that's producing the echo.
Okay. I'll do that.
I wouldn't worry about it for this conference, but maybe by next conference you can have that. Maybe try to use your hand phone so that it doesn't produce that echo. And I do think it is not only that Michael is right, your volume is high, but Lewis is concerned also that there's some reverb and garbling going on there that makes it very difficult to decipher what you're saying. So hopefully we can straighten that out in the future there, sister.
Does this sound better? Because I think I found the volume on here.
Well, I think that is a little better.
Yeah, I was singing with it, and I think I found the volume up on this computer.
Okay, if we might move on here. I would like to know more about that executive order where Mr. Trump is being our savior or something. Maybe that's too harsh words. I didn't mean to belittle. I haven't seen a whole lot of good from Mr. Trump. But if he signed an executive order that does have some implications for empowering the common people or something like you seem to be implying here, Cynthia, then that would be real worthy of following up, because any current developments that are looking like they might be empowering our grassroots common people, we need to be on that quick and picking up on it. So maybe you could send me a web link to that executive order document, Cynthia, so that I can figure out?
I just put that. It's in the chat area.
Okay. Thank you. I find that chat our chat window here immensely frustrating. I'm not even going to be sidetracked, but I'll look at it later. I appreciate that.
If I may.
Michael, yes.
Just wondering quickly, I was wondering when that was signed and what's the name of the order?
Cynthia?
It's in the chat area, Michael.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not in the chat area. I'm on my iPhone. So.
Oh, okay. It's whitehouse.gov/presidentialactions. And you can just, type in Executive Order 1776.
Okay, you don't know the name of the order and the date it was signed?
Yeah, hang on a minute, and let me get back on it. And it says Executive Order on Establishing the President's Advisory 1776 Commission.
And the date?
And that actually is the executive order?
Yes.
Was, November the 2nd.
Correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to revisit that after we've had a chance to review that, Cynthia, because I'm seeing something different, and I'm often, times things have been presented differently, and what I'm seeing there is that is an executive order to establish a commission to advise the president on how America's founding story should be taught in schools. And something that was some perceive as a direct response to the 1619 project. So I'd like to perhaps we can take a week for those of us that have interest to review this and then perhaps revisit this discussion next week. I yield.
Thank you, Lewis. That does sound like an appropriate course of action. I'll plan on putting this executive order on the agenda for next week's conference. I think this is new to the vast majority of us here. I am apprehensive that this is not as valuable as Sister Cynthia might seems to be thinking that it is, but I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. And we'll plan on revisiting the issue here next week in our conference, if that's agreeable with everybody here.
That's a go for me. This is David.
David, good to hear your voice. And I know our other David here from Texas is also on. I'm glad to see you all here. Yes, thank you for chiming in there, David. So, continuing on to agenda item. Well, wait. We were already into the Electoral College, weren't we, in the presidential elections, and that's how we got onto the executive order thing. But that's a little bit different than the Electoral College. I think I should go ahead and wrap up and fill in a few blank spaces about why we, all of the Republic groups, should be on top of this Electoral College issue directly, emphatically. Because the normal Roman Empire civil municipal model of government is a government of limited jurisdiction. It's not a people's government. It postures as a people's government. Its municipal corporate charter opens by saying, "We the people," and then it goes on to establish an entire system of federal judiciary where the chief judges of the Supreme Court are never voted for, okay? That's not organic. That's not common law. That's Roman Empire slave trader jurisdiction that you're looking at in the municipal form of government that was established by the Constitution, and they're under, they don't have electors. They don't have electors, but electors need to control the force of the government of the United States of America, and that's as a matter of higher law, and the founders knew that, and so that's why they engineered in the Electoral College. And I'll tell you what, all you right-wingers, the lefties are talking about abolishing the Electoral College. They want it to be a direct vote of all the Roman Empire municipal slaves voting for who's going to be the big slave master here, with no linkages to common law tradition like the Electoral College requires. And if they abolish the Electoral College, that's going to destroy our link to common law accountability for who decides the president. And that would be a bad thing. So you guys, you can't let the Electoral College be abolished like what a lot of people are doing. The Electoral College should be a constitutional convention. It should be deciding way more than who is just the president of the Roman Empire municipal slave trading government. It should be re-engineering the entire government, the Electoral College, the Beacon Republic with the K group. They should be talking about their congressional assembly should be composed as an Electoral College. They should be filling in all of those 538 seats in the Electoral College. That should be the real congressional assembly of the real republic with a K. There's so many opportunities on the chessboard to start asserting common law jurisdiction and power. But nobody's up to speed on how to play the cosmic chessboard game here, the battle between the common law jurisdiction and the Roman Empire civil municipal slave traders jurisdiction. Most of the gurus are not up to speed on the cosmic battle. And so we're clunking along here. And I guess at that point, is there comments or questions about the Electoral College here thing? I can move on to other issues. Comments or questions about the Electoral College? Anybody?
Yeah, may I? This is Michael in Florida.
Please, Michael, yes.
Yeah, the fact that the Democrats are seeking to abolish it speaks volumes about their character. They either have a lack of understanding and lack of knowledge regarding the Electoral College, or they have a sinister intent to abolish it so they would control the entire country through the mass populations of the cities. And it was the genius of the founders when they created it to give a fairer, more balanced representation to all the cities, counties, and states. And this is a very serious threat. There are a couple organizations nationwide that are actively recruiting and pursuing the abolishment of the Electoral College. And if that were to ever happen, we would be doomed and enslaved to socialism and possibly even worse after that. But it's a major principle on their platform to get rid of it. So it's a good argument to expose them when you're discussing politics or self-government with any Democrat. That is a major issue that they need to be aware of, and the threats that exist. But the city slickers, they like it. You know, they're like rats. They like to congregate in numbers in the cities where they have more power. Wolves do the same thing, and it's just not proper. It doesn't provide for good representation. It becomes a mobocracy, and that is not what America is about. We are a democratic republic, not a democracy. So it's very serious, and we should take it as such. I yield. Thank you.
Yes, it is very serious, and that's one of the main issues here. because of smoke and mirrors, and that's what they plan to have us caught up in this game that we will never get our freedom back. But it's not working. We are aware of it, just like you just said. They're doing it for a reason. Their agenda is to have us slaves forever, and that is one of the big issues, and it's not going to happen. And this is when Donald Trump did that executive order. It stopped. But we're going to have to stand up, because Donald Trump can't do anything because he's going down with the cooperation. It trumps the last cooperation, because we're going to stand up for ourselves, and he's giving us a way out as he goes down with the cooperation. It's just a knowing. But that's what's taking place right now. It's for us to make a choice. And he's giving us that choice and that way out for that, with the executive order. It's not like he's this great man and he's going to save us. No, we're going to have to save ourselves. But what they're doing right now, the Democrats, and what they're trying to do is what we call smoke and mirrors, because everybody, we're in a nation of dead people. That we're saying that's who we are. Unaware of you saying that, but yes, so they can have full control of God's children, the Creator's children. I yield.
Thank you, Cynthia. We are looking forward to reviewing that executive order next week. I'm sure we'll all be in a much more competent position to discuss these very hope-inspiring propositions that you're raising here, Cynthia. I do look forward to the discussion next week on the implications of this executive order from Donald Trump. Is there other discussion on our Electoral College issue here? Anybody? Somebody's got some radio going in the background.
Yeah, no, I just want to say it's not on the Electoral College, but it is on the on the 1776 issue. There was two things issued that day by President Trump, and I went ahead and I posted the second one on there too. It's briefing statements from President Donald Trump, protecting America's founding ideals, promoting patriotic, and so on and so forth. And I think that's what Cynthia was originally talking about, but the executive order came before it, it looks like, that same day. Okay? The link is there for you guys in the chat.
Okay. All right, I'm glad the chat window's active. I just wish it was a little bit bigger. Anyway, proceeding on, agenda item 7, economic issues, including discussion of alternative currency and banking systems, and how to engineer economic support for our local responsibly self-governing communities. And and this relates to issues of defund the police and moving those resources over to our peace officers from our city municipal police departments. The entire budget for all those police officers that are honorable men, whether it be a majority or a minority. It'll be rare that it'll be 100%, but I suppose that's possible, that are willing to actually keep the peace. I believe that when we convert from municipal model of local city government to our common law model of local precincts and townships government, that the natural wealth and resources of our local communities will instantaneously double. Okay? Double. The economic resources for our common people will double. I believe that. Because the lawyers, the bankers, and the corrupted judicial officers, and the corrupted policing policies, all of that will be removed. Nobody will be facing any kind of lawyer bills or illegal entanglements unless somebody's accused them of having committed a common law crime. That means there will be no evictions from homes for foreclosures. That by itself, right there, will come close to doubling the economic resources of the community. The taxes in the city, the property taxes, economic resources will be gathered by your town constables in your local township jurisdictions as tithing donations. That's how support for all levels of government above you will be gathered together into a common treasury and banking system for producing goods and services for the entire community. This will instantaneously produce a paradigm shift in the manner in which property taxes are routinely eating out the life substance of people living in the country, out there farming, just barely getting by, and they got to pay property taxes. No, if you're a farmer out in the country and you're just barely getting by and you can't afford to pay any property taxes in your tithing, when your tithing man comes around for your town constable, you just write that. You'd have your town constable write that in his town constable report, the tithing group report, the town treasury report, that Joe the farmer out here, he can't afford any economic Federal Reserve note donations right now because he's just barely getting by. And he won't have to be kicked off of his property like he's worried about. And the bankers won't be kicking him off of his property either. And he'll be able to stay out there. And he'll be able to continue producing way more fruits and vegetables and animal products than what he can consume. And he can give that to his town tithing man, town constable, as that will be his credit in the social credit system. If he's producing goods and services in terms of food for the local township community, that's all he needs to do. He doesn't have to worry about marketing anymore. All he has to do is produce good quality fruits and vegetables, and somebody from the city will come out and pick it up for him. He don't even got to drive in if he don't want to. Or maybe when he's at town meeting. Put it in the back of his truck, bring it all in to where he comes to the town meeting, drop it off with the town constable, and then drive back out to the farm when you have your town meeting once a week or so, every other week maybe. Alternative economic systems, we can double our standard of living overnight if we just get the parasite class out of siphoning off all of the economic resources that are currently being sucked off by that parasite class. And that's without even discussing alternative economic systems, alternative banking, cryptocurrencies and things like that. We can have credit cards. John Root has already got a credit card on his common goods system. You can swipe it and you can make you can pay bills and things, pay for your groceries and stuff, I believe, off of John Root's credit card there. It's that part of John Root's program's beautiful. I think other areas of his program is a little bit dysfunctional. That's part of why I'm not really head and shoulders involved with it, but he's definitely making some real good steps in the right direction, and he's got it all reduced to a credit card. That is beautiful, and we can capitalize on this. We can double our standard of living if we just eliminate the parasite class here. So these are bold propositions. Your questions on this issue. Are you?
Yeah, this is David. I was wondering if you've got a... I haven't been up to speed on what Root is doing. I was wondering if you might be able to send me a link, in your spare time to anything that he's doing, in particular that credit card deal. I've got some reasons for saying that I'll hold on to right now. I yield.
Thank you, David. I don't have that kind of research available at my fingertips. There's a number of people in the Beacon 37 group that are working much more closely with John Root, and I guess he's hosting a conference earlier in the day on Monday. I was going to tune in. I think Darlene and Nikki were talking about that's about 1 p.m. on Monday. I think if it might fit into your schedule, David, that would be a great place to ask Mr. Root about what's going on there. You could go directly to the horse's mouth instead of going through third parties such as myself here.
That'd be great. Send me a link if you would.
Okay, I think we've got the links here somewhere. I'll try to follow up and keep you in the loop on that, David.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Charles. This is Lewis. If I may, at 7:05, do you want to include the first person of the call?
Sure. Thank you, Lewis. This is the 21st of November, 2020. This is the conclusion of the business meeting of our Supreme Court of Law for the People of the USA. And now we're moving directly into open floor discussion, after call, and continuing on a little bit with final calls of any more discussion about the economic issues in Agenda Item 7 there, or any other issues anybody feels compelled to mention at this time. I yield.
Yes, I would like to say something. This is Cynthia. Actually, what you were saying is what we're trying to get back to, because it's fairness. And his unity is working. Like you said, a village. It takes a village to raise a family. These people do not care about us, and the intent is to control us. And from us doing that, like you were describing the farmer, is that he put in other type of quality, like bringing food and stuff like that, and we will get quality food. We would get it as well as not taking his land away from him, having him afraid and have to fight this and do this. He can do what we need. So that's just an example of what we're going to go back to, because actually we are saying to the universe that we are fed up. We are, like they say in the Bible, we cry out, and that's what's going on right now, because we have suffered, and they're not winning, not at all. We have this opportunity to take advantage of it, and one thing that they do with us, they put fear in us. Why do we have to? You know you're not free. If you have to beg for your freedom, and you're afraid to even stand up for your freedom, so you know you're not free. Because no man should have to beg or be afraid to express himself if he's not doing injury, and no harm or injury to another being, another sentient being. So that example was very beautiful that Charles showed, that we need to start having more unity consciousness with each other, respect each other's ideas, and look out for each other. That's the main thing that we need to go back to, because they even changed us. It's about the majority of the people is about providing for themselves, getting what they can get for their family and them and themselves, when they don't realize that we all are family. So we need to fight. We need to really rise to that occasion and stand up for ourselves. I yield.
Thank you, Cynthia. Anybody else have comments or questions there? Hearing none.
To go along with, for some reason or another, my mute button is staying muted, and I keep on clicking it. Anyhow, to go along with what Cynthia was saying is when I was in high school, our civics teacher said, "There is a nation is only as strong as its weakest family." So it just kind of goes along with what she was just saying. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a real spiritual statement there, Nikki. And that emphasizes the spiritual mandate of righteous government to be concerned about the welfare of our common people at the grassroots. And when there's no concern in government about the real meaningful welfare of the common people at the grassroots, then our nation is being governed by tyrants. They are ungodly, unrighteous, illegitimate governors. Okay? The a mandate from heaven of honorable government, legitimate government, is that you be concerned about every family at the grassroots level. And the sad fact that so many families are struggling. The breadwinner is Gregory Manarino does stock market analysis, and he routinely produces excellent videos on YouTube that describe how this current economic system is purposefully being engineered collapse. That he quoted recent unemployment figures, 750,000 unemployed, new unemployment claims here within the last few months, I believe, is what Gregory Manarino was quoting. The unemployment figures are insane. They're a disaster. They're blood and guts against the wall. They're shocking, and we need to be concerned about it, but nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. The people that are losing their jobs, I'm sure they're talking about it, but nobody in positions of major media or governmental office of any influence is talking about it, it seems. And this is part of the problem. This is part of the problem. We need to be concerned about those individual family units and the common law model of government that we're advocating here. That produces the necessity, the imperative that we be vibes checking every single family in every single township. That's what the town constable does. He checks on every single family in every single township and makes sure they're economically secure. So, I guess that's the economic issues.
I would like to also add on to that, because sure. Actually, I didn't know exactly, because you never know everything. You're just a knowing, and I go in within a lot as well. And I know that it was a situation was going to take place after the election. And one thing that I can say that I'm very proud of, because that's what the whole deal was, to have us right now in China coming in and taking over. But it didn't work out that way, because we have shown unity, because we're not fighting each other. The whole deal with them was to have us do after this election, We should have been fighting each other, and then the economy collapsed at the same time. And when the economy, and that's going to be brought out also about the China situation, which that didn't happen. China was taking over basically every corporation around here. And it's not the Chinese people. It's the Chinese government. And they are murderers. And they were going to come in here and take control. But we didn't react the way they, and the Democrats are really, deep state, are really afraid. Because they see us waking up. And they're going to be doing a lot of stuff, like the Black Lives Matter and all these other stuff like that, because they know it's not about the suit we're in, it's about the soul. That's why we all man is created equal. And that's what they were doing. But then and that's why I'm positive about this, even though it does look a little gloom. But right now, if it was another twist, we'd have been going through pony hell right now if they were winning. But they're afraid because we are being aware. And right now, just us having this conversation and talking about these things, I know things are turning out than understanding what Donald Trump just did, because I couldn't understand, because I thought Donald Trump was going to win the election. But I was thinking maybe the election wouldn't take place, because my understanding and my awareness that it was going to be no more president after Donald Trump. But what it is it's not going to be a corporate president anymore. These people taking control over us, because we are taking control of our own lives now.
Might I suggest a little bit better wording there, sister? Municipal corporation. It's not going to be a municipal corporate government. The word corporate only means a body of people. Corporate is not a bad word by itself, I don't believe. But where the badness comes in is where they get limited liability through their municipal charter, so that they can come in and boss you around and have their police officers be immune from a counter complaint. That's how they work. I think when we're criticizing corporate forms of government, I think it's beneficial. It enhances your credibility against the de factos, if you can throw in that word municipal there, because that shows that you're thinking in surgical precision rather than just shotgunning corporation as a bad thing, and technically speaking, a township community is a corporation, and that would be a good corporation, a body. That's what the word corporation means, is just body. Corpus is body, and township is a body, but it's a good body. Municipal corporations are slave trader bodies. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to point that out, sister. Your basic point is correct. I yield.
Yes, I understand that. But we are totally under commerce. And they're saying corporate, but the whole dominant control system is not just the legal system, it's the medical system. Everything is corporate. It is commerce. So actually corporation is what they are functioning, all of the dominant control system. It's all about them taking taxation, all about us having this illusion, because actually money, and I never understand it, they always say, money was the root of all. People say, no, money is not the root of all evil. But the people that's using the money is. No. Because energy, you can manipulate energy. And by manipulating energy, and that's why they have on the In God We Trust. When I studied universal and manipulating energy, you can call it voodoo, but we do voodoo every day when we think it, because of our consciousness. But when I study it, you can manipulate energy. I'm into metaphysics, and I know only thing you have to do is a ritual, and you can put a spell on things, and you can say the wrong word. Just like a lot of people talk about going to church. They control everything. You have thousands of churches around here, but you only see nothing but evil. And that's because they do ritual spells. You're going in there for love, and that's what you're thinking. But when they tell you, because even in the pagan religion at the time, it was always sacrificing to the gods. And when you take communion, you're sacrificing to the gods. Who is the god you're sacrificing to? You don't even know. But in your mind, you're thinking some things, but energy is being manipulated. And that's one thing that we don't understand, energy in the currency. That's why when you sign your name on something, how powerful it is. And when you can send and say no, how powerful it is. And what they did for our ignorance, they manipulate the energy and have us doing things as they're taking advantage of the energy. And that's why they have us in fear as well. I yield.
And if I can piggyback on that, we have the power to bind and loose. It's been given to us in Scripture. Binding and loosing is contract law. We have to watch what we're signing for. Thank you, Cynthia.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Nice. You know, there's simple little thoughts like that, Nikki, that just two witnesses producing documents, binding and loosing, things like that. See, we can issue our own court judgments even without having a jury. We could have a three-judge panel, which would be much easier to assemble, and a three-judge panel even could bind the sheriff of Georgetown County there to refrain from evicting Cynthia Moore from her house because of the illegitimacy and void nature of the foreclosure sale that forked tongue deceiver, what's his name, Cynthia?
Crosby,
yeah, issued. See, we need to be generating more paperwork. I'm really looking forward to doing some kind of paperwork from our own court here to get in the face of Crosby and the sheriff and everybody to try to build a wall around your house there, Sister Cynthia.
Yes, I believe that what they're doing here, and I realized that's why I started doing a lot of studying and research. I said, I'm going in this courtroom begging my oppressor to help me when they're doing nothing but in front of me stealing. They did not even give me a chance to even, because Robin and I were common law marriage, which I have a document stating a marriage license, and you do not have to go to a pastor, and that's stating in their law. I have a document of marriage, and they would not allow me to represent him. I went in the courtroom to show interest of the property that I lived there because they keep writing letters, and I keep going to the probate, and they keep turning me around. But I went to court, and he asked me to leave. He said, I have to go to probate. Everywhere I went to try to get information and try to show that I live here and that we were together for 13 years and my marriage license, a document, which says in the law book when it comes to marriage is that what Robert and I had, a document, was much more powerful than a marriage by license, because a marriage by license, you put the cooperation, the government. You have, what you have done is made your marriage a business. What Robin and I did, common law, was still having the energy and the creator within it. And they would not acknowledge that when the VA, I am getting his survival pension and everything. It's intentionally done. This man, not only was he the judge that presided for the foreclosure, I put in paperwork. They're still not acknowledging me as his wife. They're still not acknowledging me that I exist. Charles and I put in paperwork on the records, and he still proceeded challenging jurisdiction, challenging the situation of them not acknowledging me, and he still had the foreclosure. Not only was he the judge, he was the auctioneer, and he had his secretary to bid on the job, I mean on the house.
Right, right. Sister Cynthia, let's not dive too deeply into
yes.
the merits of the case here this evening, okay?
Yes. But that's just an example of us not being free, and they do what they want to do. And that's totally legal.
Right.
How could you have justice when justice is not even a 10 for you to have?
Right, right. I'm sure we're all familiar with the injustice that we're all suffering under here. I'm kind of thinking of drawing our conference here to a close, but I see we haven't had a whole lot of participation from either Joe Winter in Florida or Michael in Florida here. Would either of you gentlemen like to help us extend the conference a little bit further here? Ayu? Okay, Michael or Joe? Nothing apparently really pressing on your minds to get on the table here. It seems. Cynthia or Nikki, any closing comments at all here?
Thank you. And I appreciate what you say, Cynthia. And what come to mind as far as when you're talking about them not listening is the claim of cognizance, which allows the individual under English law to create their own court and come in concurrently. So that might be something you'd want to look at. Claim of cognizance, C-O-N-U-S-A-N-C-E.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I basically know exactly what I want to do. I spend nights. It's not about the house now.
Right.
It's about my freedom and other people's freedom. This is
absolutely
ridiculous.
And this is very helpful. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Claim of cognizance. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Charles.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. Last call, comments, questions, anybody before we put a wrap on it here? This is the 21st of November, 2020, and we are bringing our conference to a close here.